I wonder what comes to your mind, or maybe who comes to your mind when you hear the term missionary? Anyone? Hudson Taylor? Anyone else? Hard work. C.T. Studd, I think I heard as well. Yeah. Well, if you're like many people, you might think of people like Hudson Taylor, C.T. Studd, William Carey, Mother Teresa, Paul the Apostle. I heard another name there. Jackie Pullinger. Yeah, great woman missionary. Or maybe you think of someone this church currently supports. Or perhaps some special person set apart to go and share the good news of Jesus in some far-flung tribe in the Amazonian rainforest. These are some of the images that maybe some of us carry when we hear the term missionary. But if that's the kind of image you carry today of a missionary, I want to try and replace that image today. You see, while God has used some remarkable people throughout history to advance his kingdom, for the most part, the mission of God has been advanced through ordinary people. People like you and me sharing their life and faith as they walk alongside other ordinary people. For me, it was people like my mother and father and my grandmother who most influenced me in my faith as a young person. For others of you, it could be a friend or a colleague, a neighbour. You can probably think of them right now, who influenced you in your faith journey in coming to know Jesus as your Lord and Saviour. And while these people might be special to you and to me, to the writers of history, they're just ordinary people. And while God has used some remarkable people abroad in a cross-cultural context, we are actually all called to mission if we are following Jesus in whatever context we are in. So Baptist Mission Australia's theme for this year has been the theme Alongside Us. And this morning, I want you to hold this image and this idea beside the term missionary. Because this idea of walking alongside other people, sharing life and faith, is perhaps a more realistic picture of how the Christian movement has come to be what it is today. And actually, as Susie and I prepare to go to South Asia next year, this is a far better description of what we'll be doing than that term, than that picture of perhaps a 19th century missionary that some of us carry. So this morning our theme is Alongside Us. And if this is something we are called to be, and I believe it is, I want to explore some of the qualities, some of the characteristics that an alongsider might exhibit. And to help us do that, I want to look at Acts chapter 11. So you might, if you've got a Bible with you, or perhaps you've got it on your phone, I wonder if you could turn to that passage. And in particular, I want to look at a character in this passage who demonstrates some qualities of an alongsider. So this morning we're going to take a look at this guy, Barnabas, and the role he played as an alongsider in the life of Paul. Paul the Apostle, or Saul as he is named here in this passage, he became known as Paul a little bit later on, would be well known to most of us, possibly the greatest Christian leader and evangelist since Jesus. But if not for Barnabas and the way he came alongside Paul, Paul may never have become the great leader that he was. So what do we know about Barnabas? Well, we know that Barnabas actually wasn't his real name. Acts chapter 4 tells us when the early church was beginning, in Acts chapter 4, verses 36 and 37, it says, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. So this is in the early days of the church, when there was need amongst the believers. And this fellow, Joseph, who had some land, sold it and bought the money to distribute amongst those in need. But his nickname was Barnabas, meaning son of encouragement. What a great nickname, hey? Son of encouragement. Wouldn't you like to be known for a godly characteristic, one of the fruit of the Spirit, perhaps, as this man was? So this is Barnabas. We know that that wasn't his real name. We also know that he was descended from the tribe of Levi, that he was from Cyprus in the Mediterranean, and that he was probably relatively wealthy, and that he actually owned land that he could sell off. It's in Acts chapter 9 that Barnabas is first linked with Paul. So Paul, who not long before had been known as a persecutor of the church, he'd gone from place to place seeking to persecute Christians, a zealous kind of Pharisee, has that encounter with Jesus on the road to Damascus. You know the story? And he miraculously comes to faith. Now, this was an unexpected turn of events in the church. Paul, this persecutor, suddenly doing an about face and becoming one of them. And when he tries to later join the church in Jerusalem, everyone is afraid of him. And they kind of try to lock him out. They're not sure if his conversion is real, or maybe whether it's just another tactic to persecute more Christians. So they're afraid of him. But Barnabas, we're told, in Acts chapter 9, took Paul and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul on his journey had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Barnabas, possibly this more mature and trusted man, comes alongside Paul and advocates for him and helps him find his way within the believing community. Now fast forward to Acts chapter 11 and the passage that Marlene read to us, because it's here that Barnabas's role as an alongsider launches Paul into the work that God had prepared him for, that we read about in the rest of the book of Acts. And it's here in the person of Barnabas that we see some qualities of an alongsider. So I'm going to highlight three of these qualities this morning. And as I do, I'm hoping that you'll identify with these and maybe consider who might God be calling you to come alongside in this season of your life. Okay, so three qualities of an alongsider. And you might have to forgive me for the font. We had some conversion issues. But the first one, alongsiders look for where God is already working and bring encouragement. So a bit of context here. To this point in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 11, the church has basically been a Jewish movement. So Jesus is Jewish, the 12 disciples were Jewish, the early church was a Jewish movement. But in the city of Antioch, we're told in verse 20, and Antioch's in modern-day Turkey, in the city of Antioch, we're told that men from Cyprus and Cyrene start to share the good news with Greeks also. And a great number believe and start following Jesus. So this is a major turning point in the book of Acts. As the good news of Jesus goes beyond the Jewish people and they start sharing it with Greek people as well. Now we might think, well, this, and it is, it was an exciting development in the people of God. But when the church in Jerusalem, here's a picture, I don't know if you can see that, but we've got Antioch right here, okay? The church at Jerusalem's right down here at the bottom. Okay. Now, when the church of Jerusalem hears about these Greeks coming to faith, they're just a little bit concerned because they're not sure, is this genuine or what's going on? So they send their trusted friend Barnabas, maybe because he also grew up in Cyprus here and knew something of the culture in that area. They send Barnabas to see what is going on up in this church in Antioch. And what a great choice that was. Verse 23 says that when he arrived and saw evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them all to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. So Barnabas, led by the Spirit, is able to see God at work and he brings encouragement. Now this is really important. You see, mission begins with God. And a big part of our role as alongsiders is to look for where God is already at work around us and get on board with what he is doing. Barnabas sees evidence for the grace of God at Antioch and encourages the believers to remain true to the Lord, and the church grows. But it's not all that he does. Remembering this man in whom he has seen the grace of God at work, Barnabas goes up here to Tarsus. He finds Paul and he brings him down to Antioch, to the church, to work with him there. Alongside us, look for the grace of God and bring encouragement. Some of you may have heard of this man, Morris is his name. He was the team leader for the South Asia team for many years. And he's something of a mentor to us now, who us newer ones who are on the team. Morris first went to South Asia in 1977 and later founded the development organisation that we work through there. But back in the 1990s, when we were, as a team, weighing up how to reach the majority Muslim population in South Asia, it was a young man who we now refer to as Mordecai, that God used to advance the work. Mordecai was a Muslim background believer who kind of hung around the fringes of the Christian community. Most of the believers at that time saw Mordecai as a bit of a troublemaker. He could be outspoken and critical of the missionaries and their ways. And he just didn't look like your typical kind of leader. Morris, however, had spent some time with Mordecai and could see God at work in his life. So Morris came alongside him and encouraged him. And Mordecai, in turn, led us to other people like him, who God was also working in. Mordecai became the first country director of our development organization, and his vision and his influence has shaped much of our work in South Asia to this day. But here's the point. Morris was able to see the grace of God at work in Mordecai. Likewise, Barnabas was able to see the grace of God in Paul and in the church at Antioch. I wonder, are you able to see evidence for God at work in people around you? You know, sometimes we see God at work in surprising places and in surprising people. It's not always those you might expect. It could be a neighbor who's responding to your friendship, or a work colleague who's invited you to something. It might be someone that others find difficult. Are you able to see evidence of God at work in people around you and bring encouragement? What might this look like if you were to deliberately do that this week? So alongside us, look for where God is already working and bring encouragement. Secondly, alongside us, understand apprenticeship and invite others in. You know, as I look at this scene here, Barnabas possibly didn't really need Paul in Antioch. Verse 24 tells us that a great number of people were brought to the Lord while Barnabas worked alone in Antioch. But Barnabas sees an opportunity for Paul to grow and seeks him out to work alongside in this church in Antioch. And it reads there that for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. Can you imagine how much Paul learnt from Barnabas in this year as they taught together? No doubt as they prayed together, perhaps lived together, ate together, just shared life together. You see, the life of faith is best learned shoulder to shoulder. Bill Maury, who wrote a book, it's called The Ways of the Alongsider, says this. It says, alongsiders do not give instructions from a distance. They intentionally come alongside people in the classroom of life, demonstrating how to love God and live on mission. This is how Jesus worked with the 12, isn't it? You see, the life of a believer is better shaped by life, by show than tell. I remember a few years ago learning, a number of years ago now, learning something about this with a friend of mine. It was at a time when I was working as a physiotherapist up at the Angus Hospital in Upper Ferntree Gully. And it was a large physio department, and I'd got to know all of my colleagues quite well. And there was this one fellow, Andrew, who I'd become quite close to. We used to chat together a lot. We'd play golf together and do other things. Andrew, anyway, came to me at one point, and he said, "Ryan, I'm engaged. And we'd like you to marry us." And look, it's hard to know at this point whether Andrew was yet a believer or not, but he was on a journey. Anyway, we had he and his fiancée come to our house for marriage preparation. And I remember that first night they came for dinner, just shared time around the table with the family, and then it was time for our son Josh to go to bed. Now he was, I don't know, perhaps 2 years old at this point, maybe three, I can't remember now exactly. But I said to him, "Josh, time to go to bed." And I used to pray with him at this time before he went to bed. And so I said, "Josh, time to go to bed." And he said, "Yes, Dad, but I want him to come too." And so I thought, okay. So Andrew came and I said, "Oh, it's time to pray for you, Josh." And I remember I prayed something like this: Lord Jesus, I thank you for Josh. Thank you for his day today. As he goes to sleep now, watch over him as he wakes to a new day. Lead him in your paths. Bless him, Lord, I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And with that, we left the room and did our marriage prep. A week later, we were back for the second session of marriage prep. Same routine, dinner first. Josh, time to go to bed. And he said, yes, but I want him to come. So he sat down by his bed and I said, okay, Josh, let me pray for you. And he goes, Dad, I want him to pray. Now, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, gee. And he said, no, I'll do it. I'll do it. You know what he prayed? Lord Jesus, I thank you for Josh. Thank you for his day today. As he goes to sleep now, watch over him. As he wakes to a new day, lead him in your paths. Bless him, Lord, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, it may not have been word for word, but I remember sitting there thinking, wow, he's been listening to my prayer. You see, the life of a believer is better shaped by show than tell. And I know in my life that has been true in my experience too. Now, the irony is that I'm telling you this now. And the reality of preaching is that you might remember one or two things, maybe with Peter a few more, I'm not sure. But it's shoulder to shoulder where we really learn. Small groups, serving together, maybe at the mustard tree, praying together, sharing the highs and lows together. Often it's the incidental things that I've learned just through sharing life with other believers that have shaped me the most. Just a few weeks ago, we celebrated my dad's 80th, and I shared a little bit of a story at that time because my parents had shared the grace of God with me, no doubt in family devotions. But there is one time where I remember I learned more about the grace of God it's one that I often come back to because I was about 12 years old at the time, and one thing my parents had always encouraged me and my two brothers was to not play with balls inside the house, but to go outside the house to play ball games, probably for good reason. Anyway, on this one occasion, I had a friend over and to our home, and it was just me and my friend Dale, or Tomo as I called him, and it was raining outside. And we had this lounge room. It was long, I reckon about 22 yards, but it certainly felt like a cricket pitch, you know, and we couldn't go outside and, whatever. Mum and Dad not home. Anyway, so we're there playing cricket and I hit this straight drive, and I just remember it going to the other end of the room, and we had this, I think it was called an Indian rubber plant. It was on a coffee table at the other end, and the ball was flying through the air, and it hits this thing and it just exploded, you know, bits of fronds went kind of everywhere, and Tomo was just laughing hysterically. He thought it was great, but I at this point was not laughing because my dad, and some of you know him, he's an observant guy, and I knew it wouldn't be long after he got home that he... Anyway, I'm trying to stick these things back together, you know. Anyway, Dad got home, and I reckon it was only 5 or 10 minutes, and he said, boys, come. And so we stood there before him, and he said, who did this? Who's been playing with balls? Who did this? My younger brother said, no, it wasn't me. My older brother said, no, it wasn't me. He came to me and I said, no, it wasn't me. And he wasn't happy. He said, I'm not happy. I know one of you. One of you is lying to me. Anyway, he left us. I went to bed that night and I just could not sleep. My conscience was just eating away at me. And I reckon I was lying there for maybe a couple of hours. And I got up. And I went into the lounge room. I thought, I've got to confess. And so I went to Dad, and I think I went inside. Dad, it was me, it was me, it was me. And he said, what was you? And I'm standing there in front of him, and I said, I was playing cricket in the house, and I broke the rubber plant. And I remember standing there thinking, oh, I wish I had about five pairs of undies on now. Not for any, but I knew he'd give me a whack. And I remember Dad got up, and he came over to me and he put out his arms and he pulled me in and he said, I'm so proud of you telling the truth. And it was just so surprising to me. I knew what I deserved, and then what I got was the complete opposite. And I often think of that moment and what it taught me about the grace of God, who forgives us when we deserve so much different. But it's through sharing life with other believers that we learn the life of faith, isn't it? Alongside us, understand apprenticeship, and they invite others in. I wonder, how does this apply to you today? What does your shoulder-to-shoulder faith journey look like? Is there anyone who you might intentionally invite into your life to learn from you? Join your small group, to share meals or a coffee with, maybe to open the scriptures with, to pray with, or maybe to go with you as you visit someone. Alongside us, understand apprenticeship and invite others in. Finally, and just quickly, oh, this is hard to read. Alongside us, don't mind anonymity, but focus on God's kingdom. Now, alongside us, don't mind flying under the radar. You know, if Barnabas had wanted to simply build his own reputation as an evangelist or a teacher, he would never have invited Paul to share his ministry in Antioch. He could have taken all the credit for himself, although obviously it's God that was doing the marvelous thing in Antioch. But Barnabas saw what was possible for the kingdom of God if he could encourage Paul and elevate his role, even at the expense of his own prominence. You know, the last few verses of this section tell how the church at Antioch, having received prophetic knowledge of a famine that is coming, decide to send a gift to the church in Jerusalem. So here's Barnabas returning to the church that had sent him out, not only with a positive report about the non-Jewish believers, but with a financial gift from these non-Jewish believers to help the Jerusalem church. I mean, this could have been a moment of enormous triumph for Barnabas. And who does he take along with him? Paul. You know, it's interesting to note how these two workers are listed here in verse 30 and throughout the rest of their association in the book of Acts. At this stage, it seems that Barnabas is still the more senior of the two by the fact that his name comes first. The gift sent to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. And over the next two chapters in Acts, when Barnabas and Saul are mentioned together five times, it is always Barnabas and Saul. But from the middle of chapter 13, when Barnabas and Saul are mentioned together, 13 times out of 16, they are listed as Paul and Barnabas, as Paul becomes the more important figure and as Barnabas fades into the pages of obscurity. You see, alongside us, don't mind serving anonymously, because they know that building into others and encouraging them will in the end achieve more for the kingdom of God. I wonder how this applies to you today. I wonder if there is someone you might intentionally come alongside in the next year, someone who God is putting in your path to encourage in their faith journey. You see, it's been through relational alongside a ministry that the Christian movement has grown to become what it is today. People like Barnabas and other unknown believers, ordinary people like you and me, who have looked for where God is at work and intentionally come alongside others to encourage them in their faith journey. I wonder if this is something you can identify with today. You know, as Susie and I prepare to head to South Asia next year, next March, this is the kind of ministry we're going to be involved in there. We'll be looking for people in South Asia who we can walk alongside and encourage to become future leaders in a South Asian context. You know, our team there is in a time of transition. We have a country director who's getting quite elderly, a Bengali man. And there's this new wave, I guess, of young leaders there. And I think one of my big roles will be to come alongside these guys and encourage them to become the next generation of young leaders, young believers in this South Asian context. And they're going to be far more effective at sharing their faith than I will be. They know the culture, they know the language, and God is at work in them. But it's not just in South Asia. It's here in Australia too. So I want to encourage you, if you can identify with Barnabas this morning, I want to encourage you to pray for someone who you can come alongside in the next year. It might be as simple as sharing a regular coffee or meal, or reading the Bible together, or serving together in some way. You see, we are each invited to participate in the mission of God. And mission starts with relationship, as we make ourselves available to being led by the Spirit to those people who He is at work amongst. When Barnabas arrived and saw evidence for the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. And a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Well, may this also be our experience. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your grace to us. We thank you that you have made yourself known to us. We thank you for those who came alongside us and helped us to understand your love for us. And Lord, we're reminded that there are billions of people right around the world who do not know you yet. Lord, we lift them before you. And we pray, Holy Spirit, that you might empower us, work in us, that we might know what part it is that we have to play in your mission in the world. Help us to come alongside those that you are at work amongst. Help us to encourage them to look to you and to respond to you as you make yourself known to them. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.